Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock of that fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. And he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why is your countenance falling? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose again against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Man, would you expect that to be the story coming out of the first family? Would you really expect that kind of story to be told? I think as we begin to look at this, we got to start wrestling with some real issues here. Some of the issues that we're going to be wrestling with, God rejected Cain's offering, and God accepted Abel's offering. Do you know why? What do you think? Okay, why? We got to wrestle with these questions. We got to wrestle with them. But you know, as we wrestle with these questions about what's happening, we got to look at last week. You remember last week? Test time. Okay, all right, bring out your paper. Okay, what was God teaching Adam and Eve when he refused to accept the fig leaf covering they made for themselves? What was God teaching them? You can't cover yourself. You've sinned, and your attempts to work and to cover is not going to get it. It's not going to get it. From last week, we also talked about what was God showing Adam and Eve when he killed animals to make clothing for them. Got to do it God's way, not their way. There takes blood. There's got to be death because of sin. The wages of sin is death. It hasn't changed. Did Adam and Eve deserve to have God provide clothing for them? No, they really didn't, did they? What they deserved to be kicked out of the garden, what they deserved was death, but what did God give them? A covering. God provided, God showed grace. Grace. In what way did Adam and Eve become like God after they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You see, up to this point, all they had known was good. Now they knew evil. Satan said, you'll be like God. Oh boy. now you know evil. God did not intend for them to know that. But that's what they chose. Why did God put Adam and Eve out of the garden? To keep them from eating the tree of life, because in their sinful condition, He did not want them to live forever in that condition. So, out of grace, He put them out of the garden. And then, when He did that, how did God ensure that no one would return to the garden and eat of the tree of life? That's it. They put the cherubims there. They kept them out with a flaming sword. And that was an act of grace, that He kept them away. He provided covering for them through the blood, and He kept them away from hurting themselves for all of eternity. Well, Cain and Abel, we read the story a while ago. Cain and Abel both came to present offerings of God. Was Cain a godly man? Was Abel a godly man? Let's begin to ask it. Now, we're talking about the first. Remember, there's Adam and Eve, and they had a boy, and his name was Cain. And then he had another boy, Abel. So we're right now, we're at the beginning. Remember, we're laying these foundations. And inside of this, in verse 1 it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord." Oh, there's several things that's going on in there. What was the purpose for man? Why did God create man? He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and cover the earth." Remember that part of it? Is that what they were doing? Also, we see something very important today. We had a man and a woman. They got together. They got married. And what did they have? They had the children there. They bore Cain. Cain means gotten. Gotten. What did Eve know about God? She had received a child from who? From the Lord. From God. Isn't that amazing? I thought she was kicked out of the garden. She was. This child came along outside of the garden, still from the hand of God. Eve knew God. And so in looking at this, the scripture says, "And in time came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of the flock of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." What does that mean, Frank? Did he accepted one, didn't he? But he didn't accept the other. And so looking at this, why would God choose? Was He playing favorites? I think we need to look real deep inside of this. How do we know that Cain believed God? How do you know that? Did Cain believe God? What about it? Did he? Did Cain believe God? Did Cain believe that there was a God? Had Cain heard from God? Had Cain's mother and father talked to them about God? The answer is yes. Yes. How do we know that? Because Cain and Abel, they all made an offering to the Lord. That shows us that God was in context. God was in presence. God was revealing Himself. And God said to them, "Bring forth an offering. This is what you should do in order to show the righteousness that your heart is right before God." He gave them away. He gave them away. But is simply believing that there is a God, is that enough? Did Cain believe there was a God? Yes, he did. Was Cain given the instructions? Most likely Cain was given the instructions of how to worship, how to perform. And there's no indicator that says he hadn't beforehand even had another type of sacrifice. But what we do know right here is that he offered this sacrifice, but it was not accepted. So is believing God enough? The answer is no. Cain believed there was a God. But there was something else happening. There was a conflict going on right here. There was, as we saw in Genesis chapter 3:15, there was this conflict that was going on. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, they were at odds right there. For the seed of the woman, it would be trust God in His provision. But for Satan and his team, it would be rely on your own personal efforts. He didn't present the sacrifice, the offering that he was lifting up to God with faith. Something was going on. 1 John 3 said, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. That's who he was of. The serpent's seed, relying on his personal things, methods, means. James 2:19 says, you believe in God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. Now, they were broken, remember? They were broken. And is it just enough to say, okay, God, I'm broken. I know I'm broken, but that's it. No, God says, just knowing there is a God, they don't get it. The seed of the woman. Abel. Luke chapter 11, verse 49, 51 said, and I will send them prophets and apostles and some of them, and they will kill and persecute from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. So, we know that Abel would have been a what? A prophet. Isn't that interesting? That's what Jesus said. And so now Abel was this guy, and no doubt he talked to his brother about the Lord. Did his brother listen to him? Did his brother be happy about it? Leviticus says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the souls. So why did he have to kill a sheep? Why did Abel kill a sheep? Because it was the shedding of what? Blood. It was the blood that God was requiring. And when God tells us what He requires, then we are to obey. And did Cain obey? No. God, in His mercy, shares with us. Grace is gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is He withholds from us what we do deserve. And God, in His mercy, and God, in His grace, said, the blood. The blood. Hebrews 9:22, according to the law, almost all things are purified by blood. Without the shedding of blood, how much remission of sin? None. Without the shedding of blood. That was a good one, Bill. Can anybody name that tune? Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that. And so that we see punishment. There's punishment for death. Punishment for sin is death. Even we saw that, the death of the lamb, that was punishment for sin. God accepted Abel's offering, and that was good. Now there's two brothers. One of them's name's Cain, the other's name Abel. Okay? Who was their father and mother? You got it. Okay, so now we see how this thing, this foundation is being set right here. He accepted Abel's offering. And when he accepted it, verse 4 says, Genesis 4:4, Abel also brought a firstborn of the flock of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. I like this. He offered a sheep. He obeyed God. Abel believed God. God respected it. God received it. God was glorified when he responded to God the way that God had instructed, the way that God had shared, the way that God had revealed himself. And so the five, faith is what makes that. You see, Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice through Cain. By what? By faith. See the huge difference between Cain and Abel? It was faith was the difference that he offered it. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're going to have faith in God, you got to believe God is. And then secondly, you got to believe that God wants to reward you. God wants to give you of His mercy and of His grace. He is a rewarder of those who diligently just stumble by Him. No, He's a rewarder of those who diligently go after it. Those who seek Him, those who want to know God, God is going to reveal Himself to them. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, according to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does anybody in here want more faith? How can you get more? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, you can have it. It's there. Diligently seek Him. Faith is the only way we're going to approach God. There is no other way. Romans 14:23 says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat in faith. For whatever is not of faith is what?" Whoa, listen to that. How many times have we reached out to God and said, "Hey, God, I'd like to have this, this, and this, and this." Did you ask it in faith? Or was you just throwing something out there, a wish list? If you were just throwing out a wish list, then that was what? It was not a faith. And if it's not a faith, it's what? It's sin. Oh, what does sin mean? I am going to put somebody on the spot this morning. I just feel it coming on. Troy, would you please stand? Would you please stand, Troy? Okay. All right. Turn and face everybody. Okay. You ready for this? Here's the question. What is sin?
Anything opposite of the will of God.
Good answer? Good answer. Thank you.
Did I pass?
You passed. What is sin? Anything opposite of the will of God. What's the will of God? Okay. Wait a minute. Sin then is what? Sin is missing the mark. Okay, it's kind of like you, if you got a target up here with a bow and arrow, and you got a target. Let's say Frank, stand up. Help me out on this, okay? Stand up. Frank, you're a target, okay? Landon, shoot an arrow at him. Boom, where'd you hit him? He got you. He hit the mark, okay? But what if he went off and hit this wall over here? You can sit down now. What if he hit the wall over here? He missed the mark, didn't he? That's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. He said, anything ought to do in the will of God. Well, what is the will of God? The will of God is to bring God the glory. If you don't bring God the glory, then you miss the mark. And that's called sin. That's right. That's right. It's also iniquity, lawlessness, not doing what God wants done. And so therefore, anything that is not done in faith is missing the mark and doesn't bring God the glory. So when you pray in faith. By the way, what's the problem with sin? Yeah, it's right in the middle of it. What's in the middle of sin? Yeah, that's my biggest problem, is I. Right in the middle of sin. But if I give my heart to God and obey Him in faith, then sin is not going to control me. We got a problem with the I in sin. And each of us have to struggle with that. So in Ezekiel, Scripture says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins shall die. So what is the payment for sin? Death hasn't changed. It was true in the day of Cain and Abel. It was true in the day of Adam and Eve. It's true in our day. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? So why did God accept Abel's sacrifice? Faith. Faith. He obeyed God, trusted God with faith. Very good. But God rejected Cain's offering. Why? Wasn't in faith? Was he a wicked man? Oh, was he? Whose team was he on? We got some problems going on here. Let's see what happened right here. And in the course of the time came past, Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord, an offering of the fruit of the ground, an offering of the fruit of his own hands, his own workings, Maybe not the offering that God wanted him to bring. I don't know this exactly, okay? But what I do know, something was wrong with his heart. And then when his offering wasn't received, he got what? Angry. He got mad. And when he got mad, he started looking like what? His countenance. And what's countenance? Yeah. Look on his face. He went from the... to the you see people that... I mean, if I hit your hot button, you know what's going to happen to your face? Yeah. Your eyes are going to get kind of beady. And you're going to kind of look at me. Yeah, like Judy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. All of a sudden, you get this going, and anger and countenance. Did God know what was going on in his heart? Oh, he sure did. Cain's way, I said I'll do it my way. He offered a sacrifice his way, God rejected. His heart was wrong. The Bible says that he had a wicked heart and his reasoning was wrong. I'm just as good as my brother. I can present my stuff to God. I can do it my way. That's the same thing people are doing today. God says there's only one way to him, and people are saying, well, let me do this, then God will do that. Uh-uh. God's way only. Only. By faith, Abel offered the sacrifice more excellent than Cain. We know faith was that key. And Cain refused to do what? He refused to listen to God. Huh. Who sang that song, Frank? I did it my way. Frank, I know how old you are now. Frank Sinatra. It was Frank Sinatra who sang that song. I did it my way. And so many have tuned up to that today. We see, he refused. What did the Lord say to him? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance, your facial expression? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not well, then here's the problem. Sin lies at the door. And here's something that we all need to double look on. And its desire is for who? Does anybody have that problem? Does anybody have a sin problem creeping on at the door? Fact about the matter is, sin, if you're not expressing in the faith and sin is crouching you at the door, you should rule over it. Can you, Danny? Can you rule over sin? So what are we supposed to do? Rule over the sin. How can we rule over the sin? We can rule over the sin with the Word of God. And by faith and trusting in Him, we can rule over the sin. Can you stop birds from flying over your head? But you can stop them from making nests in it, right? And so that's what we're looking at right here. You're not going to be able to stop sin coming from your door. But you can rule over it. Flip Wilson was wrong. The devil made me do it. He didn't do it. He did it himself. Sin was crouching at the door. He didn't take charge of it. He didn't master it. So what happened? Verse 8, chapter 4 says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Who was directing the story? Who was Cain listening to? You got it. Hello? You listen to the wrong voice and you get the wrong results. It was happening right there. How are you going to handle sin? You've got to rule over it. You've got to obey God. You must control it, or what's it going to do? And that is a fact. You don't think anger can get out from under control? If you don't control your anger will control you. It will get you. And it is fact. So why did Cain kill? That don't make sense. Why did Cain kill Abel? Look at this. 1 John 3:12 says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. When you get right down to it, his works were evil. Did he know God? Yeah, he knew about God. He knew God. Did he obey God? No, he did not. You are of your father the devil. In John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who's a chip off the old block? Cain. Cain was a chip off the old block. Murder from the beginning. No truth, lies. Satan's the father of liars. God judged Cain for killing Abel. Did God have the right to do that? Does God have the right to judge people today? Yes, He does. He really does have the right. So the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Listen to this guy. I don't know. You ask your kid, did you break that glass? I don't know. Not me. By the way, why did God even ask him? Did God know that he killed his brother? He did. Why did he ask him? That's it. To give him a chance to come clean. Voluntary, say, Lord, I messed up. I sinned. Does God do that for us today? Yes, he does. God comes to us and says to us, and we say to him, yeah. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? We know then that Cain was a murderer, a liar, and rebellious. Wow. Do you know anybody like that? Oh, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been angry with your brother without a cause? That's murder. Let me, have you ever told a lie? Yeah. Have you ever not did what God told you to do? That means you're a liar, murderer, and rebellious. You see, this apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, does it? God gave Cain the opportunity. Where is your brother? If he had come clean, things would have been different. Genesis 4:10 through 15, he says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So in God's justice, so you are cursed from the earth, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood. And when you feel the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. God's justice. And God drove him out from his presence. And God in his mercy set a mark on him. By the way, the mark was not a mark of a curse. It was a mark of grace. So that nobody would kill him. God loved Cain. Even though Cain rebelled against God, he still loved him. He loved him. Why did God have the right to avenge Abel's death? He created him. God created him. It was his creation, in his image. God has the right because God created each of us. So then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and he dwelt in the land of Nod and Cain. So God's going to avenge all that do evil. Cain refused to repent. So what the bottom line is, God's going to punish those who say and do anything harmful to another person. You know anybody like that? Do you think they're going to get away? Do you think Cain got away. So therefore, I got to ask you a question. If Cain didn't repent, what is repentance? Repentance means to change the mind. Repentance means to change the direction. Repentance means to change the attitude. Repentance means, God, you're right and I'm wrong. Everything you command is good, is righteous, and holy. Have you repented of your sin? Have you agreed with God? God, I messed up. God, I'm sorry for my sin. God, forgive me. Repentance, changing the direction. Let me tell you what it's not. Repentance is not empty promises. Repentance is not, I'll never do it again. Repentance is not, there's no bargain. God doesn't make deals with people. Donald Trump does. But God doesn't. He doesn't make deals. No, you do this and I'll do that. No reformation before salvation. God's not in that business of making deals. So Ephesians says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You've become a workman of God. And the key that's going to get you in there is faith. Remember that word faith? Have you heard it before? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, according to Romans 6:23. And the key that's going to unlock that door is the same key that Abel used when he offered up that sacrifice. He did it in faith. That's going to be the same key that's going to open up the door of your heart for eternal life. It is going to be faith in Jesus Christ. So therefore, the blood of the righteous cried out, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses. All the blood of Abel could do was cry out. But the blood of Jesus cleanses from all our sins. So Cain's descendants now followed Cain's example. And he followed it along this way. The Genesis 4:16 said, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Where did Cain go out from? Where? Presence of the Lord. What happens when people start allowing sin to overrun them and no longer master it, no longer take control of it? What happens to a sinner? 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. You see, sin separates. And that's what happened. So Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and they built a city, and they named the city Enoch. And Enoch had a child named Irad, and Irad Mehujael, and Mehujael Methusael, Methusael Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The one was named Adah, and the name of the other was Zilpah. First time that we find polygamy in the Bible. All of a sudden, you see how we're getting further away from God's creation? And then they went on, and these children, they dwelt tents and livestock, and one of them was a father who played the harp and the flute, and Zilpah bore Tubal-Cain and the instrument of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister Tubal-Cain was Naamath. Lamech said to his wives, Adah, and Zilpah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 70-fold. Do you see it intensifying in Genesis 4? You see how the further they got away from God, what was happening? Cain's descendants, based on what? Urbanization. They moved away. They started building a city. Husbandry. They started raising the cows. Craftsmen of metal. Music. Oh, they could play the skies down. They were focused on material things. The people were brilliant. By the way, anybody that tells you we're smarter than they were back then, they're crazy. These were brilliant people. Back there, several thousand years ago, when they made an instrument out of nothing, brilliant people. But something about Cain's descendants, they had no time for God. Does that sound just a little bit familiar today? You know anybody that's focused on material things? Brilliant people? Really no time for God? No interest in what God's got? All of a sudden that lineage continues on, doesn't it? It continues. The further you get away from God, Adam, Cain, the children, we ought to say, man, look at the stoplight. If it's true in their family, what about today? We better watch this because Satan keeps pumping his lies into the minds of the people. So what will happen today if you refuse God? What's going to happen? Separation? Yeah. Separation from God. But God in His grace and His mercy gave Seth to replace Abel. And his wife bore another son, and his name was Seth. For God had appointed another in the stead of Abel, whom Cain killed. God had promised a deliverer. By the way, why was Abel killed? We say by the wickedness of Cain, right? But where did he get that from? Satan. And Satan hates everybody. And Satan wanted to kill the deliverer that God promised. And Satan said, I got him. And then God gave Seth. You see, Satan may have won a battle, but he sure lost the war. When Enos, Seth's son, was born, people again began to worship and believe, worship to believe God and to worship Him. Out of that very, very special young man. So coming out of Adam and Eve, we know there was Abel and Cain. But then the seventh away was Lamech, this murderer of a man that even injured him. The seventh away from Abel, we find Enos, where man began to worship God. And so as it says, as for Seth and to also his son, then man began to call on the name of God. Why? Because they knew they needed God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, the Scripture says, then Peter opened up his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. You believe that? Does God show it? Does God like America more than He does Spain? No. Amen. Amen. Okay. God shows no partiality. That's fact. We know this to be true. And so in His love, He reaches out to all people with the message. Because the fact about the matter is, God's plan is right on time. Right on time. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it, Landon? Is His plan at work? It's working in it, buddy. God is showing us a big story as He's developing the foundations of this life. So what God is asking us today, the same thing that He did, same thing that He asked Cain and Abel. God may be asking you, where is your brother? Or He may put it in a different way. What'd you do? What'd you do? Confess it. Okay? Confess it. Get it right. Follow the blessing. Let the blood of Abel not be without worth. In fact, one of the Scriptures read that his blood still calls out today. The blood of Abel is still calling people today. Calling out to God and calling you. Because it's mindful of us, of what Jesus Christ did for us. He calls out. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You this morning, we are mindful that You're laying a foundation. And inside of this foundation, Lord, there's a lot of questions and all that we've got to answer. And we've got to realize, God, that You are at work. You've got this master plan that's going on. And we see, Lord, if we don't get into the game, if we don't play by the rules, if we don't take care of this sin issue, and if we don't cry out in faith to God, we're in trouble. But God, You know that. And so therefore, You keep coming to us. And You keep calling out to us. Lord, help us to respond to You in faith. And today, Lord, let us bless Your holy name. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. What does God want you to do? If you want to say it the way they say it out in the country, some of you need to fess up. You need to fess up. God's still asking the questions. We still got to answer them. And how we answer it is going to determine our future. How can you do that today? One, you can repent. You can repent. Trust Jesus. Prayer altar is going to be open. If you'd like to talk with me, I'll be right down front here. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'd love to pray with you. If you'd like to go spend some time, because some of us may have something. No, some of us have something. We need to fess up. Prayer altar is going to be open. Repentance is now. God's asking, let us respond. Let's stand together and share in this song.
Unforgiven, because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Well, I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again.
do, Lord?
Honor you. Scott, would you lead us to the Lord?